Thank you, Mr. President. In the interests of some interactive dialogue, I don't actually have a prepared statement, but firstly, I'd like to thank the Austrian minister for his statement, and also you for organising this panel and colleagues for speaking. I won't outline Australia's position in detail because I've done that many times in the CD before in the subsidiary body discussions last year. And, you know, in brief, we're very supportive of negative security assurances. We welcome those that have already been given. We would like to see them strengthened. We are part of a nuclear weapon-free zone through the Rarotonga Treaty. But I have, and I think that they provide important sort of non-proliferation and disarmament elements that help us with our toolbox. I found last year in the SB4 discussion that probably the most useful elements was really the discussion on doctrine and deepening understanding of the differences between the nuclear weapon states. And I know that sometimes this issue is referred to as low-hanging fruit, and it's been on the CD's agenda for a very long time. But I can't help asking, well, why haven't we done something about it? And so I question a little bit the idea that it's low-hanging fruit. I think I land where the Netherlands ambassador and our ROK colleague, that really we're still at the discussion point. We're still at the point of deepening understanding. I really struggle with how to actually build convergence on this issue in the CD. A number of countries have outlined that they want a legally binding multilateral instrument. They think this is essential. Most NPT nuclear weapon states have been very clear in outlining their positions, all of which differ slightly, but which broadly say we already offer NSAs with a range of conditions. I wasn't actually aware of Russia's the difference in Russia's position between the UK, France and the US. So thank you for raising that, Mark. That's interesting. And then I think there is sensitivity over the issue of who can actually offer NSAs, which has just been raised by our colleague from ROK. So what I'm left with is that actually we need more dialogue to understand what it is we are trying to achieve under this agenda item and how best to do this. You know, what would a legally binding NSA offer that doesn't exist now? And is this really the most important focus for us now and the best use of our time? Because I guess I see the risks as being more between the nuclear weapon states. I hadn't thought about NSAs in a risk reduction context before, so that was interesting to me, Mark. I think that is worth exploring. I think, you know, if you're talking about one instrument being negotiated in the CD, you've sort of got to think about how do you deal with the different doctrines of nuclear weapon states, and is it even possible to have a one-size-fits-all approach? And then I come back to something that Australia often speaks about, and that is transparency on doctrines and transparency on reservations. You know, I think it's really helpful for non-nuclear weapon states for us to understand why countries have reservations, what those reservations actually mean, and what is preventing them from reducing those reservations or those conditions. So just a few comments in my reaction to trying to bring positions a little closer together or to understand a bit better where the differences are.